Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bowlin Podcast, presented by Bowlin Media. I am Ross Bowlin, here with Cade Orris, back from the Christmas break. And to start today's show, Cade, let me ask you a personal question.
Okay. I don't know if you're allowed to do that. That might be a HIPAA violation.
I'm going
to
do it anyway.
Okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb, take a risk. When you're back home at your parents' house for the holidays, like, did you sleep in?
Yes, but not really. Like, I would always wake up around 8 and I would try to go back to bed, but it usually didn't work, so I'd just like stay in bed and scroll through,
like, because the house was stirring and noise woke you up, or just because, like,
no, that's just when I wake
just
up
when
now.
You get up now.
Yeah, so like I guess it would be like 7 here, but I woke up at 8 and then like I just could never go back to bed, so I just lay in bed for hours and then just come out like around 11, be like, all right, time to get this day started, because I don't have anything else to do. So.
Truly pathetic.
Yeah.
Have you lost the ability to sleep in?
Absolutely, 100%.
So it's gone now for you. It's over.
Yeah.
Is this like in the last couple years?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Since I got here. Like,
since you started working, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hasn't been great. Yeah, even when I'm like hungover on the weekends, I still can't like sleep in past 9.
That's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible, terrible phase of life that ends when all of a sudden you realize, like, oh shit, like sleep until 10:30, 11, noon. Those days are gone.
Yeah.
It's over. I was watching an episode of The Sopranos over the holiday, just because that's a thing I do year round. And one episode, Tony like goes out. It was the Christmas episode that I was watching, season 3, episode 10. Tony goes out with a couple of the guys to a strip club. And then the next morning, it shows him like coming down to the kitchen in his robe. And Carm, his wife, is like, I wish I could sleep until 11:30. And I was like, holy God, imagine sleeping till 11:30. Like, it's been so, I can't remember the last time I slept till even 9 a.m. Like, it's been years, like many years.
Yeah. And now, granted, I don't like sleeping in all that much, because I feel like you're kind of wasting your day away. Like, if you're getting up at 11:30 noon, like on most weekends, you're kind of just like pissing a lot of the day away.
No, you don't want to make it a consistent thing for sure. But like having the ability to sleep in on occasion to like recharge or catch up on sleep or just like wake up feeling really rested is definitely something I took for granted. So like, speaking of rested, do you feel more rested today, right now, on Wednesday, December 27th, than you did before the holiday break? Or just the same?
Yeah, no, I just feel the same.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, I wasn't really like my schedule didn't really switch up all that much, because like I go to work at 10, like I'm usually up by then. Like this past week I was up before then anyway, so it's just I didn't have anything else to do.
What time do you wake up on the weekends typically? Same thing? You just like, you can't help it, your brain just gets you up.
And
no,
doesn't matter
what.
Like when I go to bed, like it'll be past 2 or whatever. Like I was staying up late
if you
this
get
past week a
obliterated
lot.
Stay out late, come home from the bars, you're still waking up at 8 a.m.?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
And then I'll just go out like later that night too and just run it
just
back.
Just repeat?
Yeah.
Damn, because like as a new parent, the most shocking thing about parenthood that I'm still trying to make peace with is that you come back from holidays like Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, Memorial Day, Labor Day, the 4th of July, Veterans Day, Martin Luther King Day, spring break, like even more exhausted than you were before. And it's absolutely devastating to morale. Because I remember when I was younger, like even if, you know, the Christmas break or Thanksgiving break, it would tend to be a big drinking holiday, like a lot of partying, a lot of being out later. You would still have like 1 or 2 days to recharge, sleep in, stay up late, not pay any consequences. And like that shit is gone. For all the parents that warned me like, oh, get your sleep now. Like it's not, it's the sleep thing I anticipated, like not getting to sleep much. But the fact is like going to work is less exhausting than staying home with multiple small children. Like going, writing a show, recording it, marketing it, like doing my job is way less tiring than when I'm stuck in the house for weeks on end with these little bitty humans who are completely dependent on me and my wife for their survival. Like, I drank a fucked up amount of coffee this morning that I'm not proud of. But so just to give this some context, the kids got out of school last Thursday for the holiday break, all right? The school closed, and they don't go back to school until January 8th. So the kids got out of school December 21st, and from December 21st through January 8th, they're just at home. They're just there all of the time, the full day, every fucking day. Like, and I'm assuming if you're a parent of a small child or small children and you're employed, like, I don't know what you do. Like, you must have no choice but to take all of your vacation days from work during this time. Like, I don't understand what you're supposed to do otherwise if you're in a dual income household where you both work. And even the alternative, if you're in a single income household, like maybe only one of you works, one of you is still getting screwed because you're stuck at home with the children all day, every day. And like, again, I'm not complaining about parenting. It's really, really fun. But you appreciate what school and daycare does for you as a parent so much more when you get to these long holiday breaks and you realize, like, I don't have anything left in the tank. Like, I'm just a slug at home. Just like, fuck.
Oh, just wait until the summer when you get them for months.
It's well, in the summer, you have to, like, pack it with, like, different camps and fucking activities because you cannot stay in the house every day with kids under 5. Like, you will lose your mind and they will lose their minds, and then they drive you to even further lose your mind because they're going stir crazy in there. It's amazing to me, like, all the other shit about parenting that's hard, all of the challenges, like, I can deal with them until I get to the Christmas break, just as the most recent example. And I get home and I'm stoked for the first couple of days. It's awesome. And then like day 5, you start to remember, like, oh my God, I'm not even close to out of the woods here. Like, the school is closed until after a full week of 2024 has passed. So I'm going through it right now. Anyway, I have had a pretty good stretch mental health wise and a great year mental health wise. But now I feel like I'm getting the shit kicked out of me by what I will define as the post-Christmas come down. Because I love Christmas so much. It is by far my favorite time of the year, even with the cold weather mixed in that I don't particularly like. And this was RJ's first Christmas, so it was a really special one for me and my family. I was really looking forward to it. It was fantastic. And now it's over. And the come down is hitting me hard, so much so that yesterday I said, fuck it, I'm going to go ahead and put away all of the Christmas decorations on December 26th, and the tree and the lights, and I knocked it all out so that I wouldn't have to like be reminded that Christmas came and went and I'm still here looking at all these Santa Clauses and ornaments and shit.
What did you end up doing with your tree? Because you have a real one.
Yeah, right now it's just it's outside on the side of my house next to the garbage cans. And I'm assuming at some point in the next like week or whatever, I'll get like a tree pickup notification, you know, that they're like, put it by the curb.
And we'll see. If you get a fake one, then you can just box it up and not have to worry about it anymore.
I'm telling you, I tweeted this, but like every year, December 1st, I'm like, fake people get fake trees. And then every year when I take that tree down, I'm like, maybe next year I should just get a fake tree. Because the sheer amount of pine needles that thing shed in the 10 feet from where it was to getting it out my front door was astounding. Like, yeah. I couldn't even just take the vacuum to it. I had to sweep them into a pile, into a dustpan. There was so many of them. It was something. And then my allergies flared up the rest of the day. because my head, you know, picking the tree up, picking up the fresh tree at the Christmas tree lot and carrying it is one thing. But like when you're picking up the basically dead tree now, because it's just been like trying to suck water out of this bowl for 3 weeks and carrying that out of your house, like it gets it. The shit is in my face. It was in my face. It's in my nose and my
eyes.
But
no sap though. A lot of sap at the beginning.
Yeah, right? No sap now. All dried up.
That's good.
All dried up. Yeah. But anyway, it just, there's something about like that. Get, it's like if you take, it's the same thing as when you like take ecstasy. And
what?
Or do Molly. And you're like, yes, fucking life is great. I feel so good. Rub my nipples. And then when you come down, you've used all your endorphins and you're just empty inside.
You just compared getting a tree to...
Well, no, I'm saying Christmas time.
Oh, Christmas. Like
experiencing
like,
Christmas
okay.
time is like you get that high and then there's the low after it that you know... You don't really anticipate as much as you would if you did a bunch of Molly.
Gotcha. I thought you were comparing that to getting a Christmas tree. I'm
no,
like, that's
no,
a weird
that's,
example. But okay, nah, I gotcha.
That's just part of the Christmas experience.
Yeah.
But now, post-Christmas, come down. I'm just, you know, dealing with the crushing weight of consciousness again. It's all good, though. I've got an insane headline of the day that made me feel a little bit better. And if you're dealing with the post-Christmas come down, maybe it'll help you feel better, too. North Carolina toddler opens entire family's Christmas presents at 3 a.m. And before I read the story, first, it's hilarious, but like, imagine being this toddler and your mistake is documented for the rest of your life online. That's a funny concept to me. Here's the story. It says a North Carolina couple woke up on Christmas morning to what they described as a terrifying scene. Their three-year-old loudly requesting a pair of scissors. Scott and Katie Reitgard's toddler secured an early preview to Christmas by waking up at 3 a.m. to unwrap his entire family's presents. Scott Reitgen, the dad, said, who works as a science fiction and fantasy author, which kind of makes it funnier. He said the three-year-old had found his Spider-Man web shooters and he wanted scissors to cut them out. So this couple has three children. Ages 6, 3, and 1, and Katie, the mom, said her 3-year-old son had unwrapped, quote, literally everything from the tiniest eraser to the biggest box. So this is two parents and three children. So there's a lot of presents. Opened every single one of them, and it says the gifts had taken hours to wrap the night before. The 3-year-old, whom Scott and Katie lovingly referred to as the midnight perpetrator, explained to them that he unwrapped the presents because he didn't want his family to be confused.
Well, that was thoughtful of him.
Yeah, and in his own way, he was doing something good here. And he thought, oh, nobody's going to know what is what. They're covered in all this stupid paper. I'm just going to go ahead and take it off. But oh my God, like, first of all, this is why you never wrap everything the night before. Because if somebody wakes up and opens all of it, it's even more devastating. You just spent all of that time. You wrap as they come in. Saves you that you know, several hour wrapping session that is absolutely hellacious. It says the morning then became a mission for the Reitgens to save Christmas for their 6-year-old son because, quote, the 6-year-old is very much the rule follower. So the idea that someone would just go down and open all the presents would just be unthinkable to him, said Scott Reitgen. But our middle child is very much the adventurous, ridiculous, no rules, have fun kind of kid, which is just an interesting way of putting it. It says, while Scott put the children back to bed, Katie painstakingly taped the ripped up wrapping paper back together, having run out of fresh wrapping paper. So then when the rest of the family comes down in the actual morning when they're supposed to, all the presents just look like they've been through like a fucking hurricane.
It probably all looks like the dad wrapped them.
Yeah.
Because the moms usually do a pretty good job, but dads notoriously are
not good.
Pretty terrible at wrapping.
Yeah,
gifts.
Not good. I try, you know, like I really do.
Yeah.
But it's like the, you know, let's say shoebox. Let's say it's a shoebox. Like the concept of like getting enough wrapping paper to cover it all isn't the problem. Folding over the top, not the problem. It's the sides where you have to fold down and like mm-hmm. make a fucking, you know, octagon or whatever, a half octagon or whatever that was, some kind of geometrical shape that you then are able to like, you know, close it off and tape it shut. That's where I struggle. And it gets really ugly.
That's why I always go with the bag. Or we got some like decorative boxes this year, so you don't have to wrap it, but you can like put it in there and like it's like says Merry Christmas on it or whatever. You slap
like
a bow
that.
On it.
I like that.
Yeah. So my mom did that a lot this year.
Nice. Katie said when she put the presents back, she put them high up on the mantle so their three-year-old couldn't reach them. Scott shared photos of the moment on X, formerly known as Twitter, which they did not put. I'm putting it to make sure that everyone knows Scott wasn't on ecstasy, and received an outpouring of support from parents telling him their child tried the exact same stunt. Scott said, luckily my wife repackaged enough of the presents to stop the villain origin story for the six-year-old. We, on the other hand, are sipping coffee and plotting to tell this story at his wedding. Which, damn, again, like, it's weird. It's a weird, like, you've been to enough weddings to know that, like, parents get up and tell funny stories about the kid.
Right, yeah.
You know? That's a strange concept that, like, from birth, this family's, like, looking for their wedding story moments. Like, the fuck, what if he doesn't want to get married? I don't know. It just, it's a weird precedent to set that, like, that's what we're looking forward to. Marrying him off so that he can't come down in the middle of the night and fucking open all these presents, and so we can tell the story of the time that he destroyed our rapping efforts.
Yeah. Did your parents ever say, like, oh, if you looked at your presents early, you weren't going to get them, or, like, anything
yeah, well,
like
you
that?
Know, a little subtle. You have to give the kids some kind of, like, consequence for if they fuck with the presents, yeah. Right? Like, if you open the presents, or if you shake the presents, or if you peek at the presents, like, Santa comes in, or Santa won't bring you presents, or, like, the, you know, the, what's the scary?
Krampus?
The Krampus will come and take them all away, or eat your feet.
I thought he, like, ate you or something.
While
or,
you
like,
sleep.
Kidnapped you.
Yeah, I don't know what he does. Chews on your toes or something.
But, yeah, no, this was, a point that was well made during my younger years. Never look at the presents.
Right, you can't fuck with the presents.
No. And also, like, on Christmas Day, we would just have to, like, wait upstairs, like, while my parents just, like, got everything together.
Yeah,
so we
yeah.
couldn't even, like, go and, like, no, just wake up and come down and just, like, see what was up. We just had to, like, wait there.
Oh, that's the anticipation, though. That's the best part.
Yeah, it's the buildup.
I told this story before, but, like, and I brought it up to my dad when he was in town this weekend, but one Christmas, we came out in the living room and we, you know, opened our presents. And I remember thinking, like, kind of a shit year. I was like, what, it just wasn't that, like, compared. I think I was probably, like, you know, over 10 years old. So I had a good concept at that point for, like, how much to expect.
Yeah.
And not, I wasn't, like, some spoiled kid that was like, ah, I ain't getting enough presents. Christmas stinks. But I remember registering it, like, well, this wasn't nearly as much.
Yeah, that kind of happens.
And then my dad goes, or my mom goes, this isn't all of it. And she, like, looked at my dad in the way that, you know, parents are angry at each other or someone has done something wrong. And my dad was like, oh, shit. And he ran out to the back of his truck and pulled out a trash bag that was filled with presents that he forgot to put under the tree.
Mm, classic.
Yeah.
But, shit. Which, oh man.
You forgot what you were going to say.
I totally forgot what I was going to say. oh no, it was like, yeah, like over the years, the presents start to dwindle, like as you get older.
Well, yeah, because
like,
the shit you want gets more expensive.
Yeah.
You know?
You're asking for a bunch of toys and stuff.
Right. When you're a little kid, it's easy. You just pack up a bunch of fucking toys, cheap toys, and looks like you have a shit ton of presents, but it's just a bunch of cheap toys.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're wanting like a PlayStation 5 or whatever, and it's $1,000, that's your only present, kid.
Right.
Merry Christmas. Anyway, it was a good one. Oh, we did have a, after we got everything, like, you know, kids went to sleep, so we brought out all the Santa gifts, and I'll tell you some of the stuff my kids got in a few minutes, but yeah. We brought them out, we put them under the tree, and then when you're downstairs in my house, like, the kids' bedrooms are upstairs, all the bedrooms are upstairs, but the if somebody's walking upstairs, like, you can hear it. And the four-year-old, my stepdaughter, she walks with very heavy feet. Like, it's very, you're very aware when she has gotten up out of bed. And we set all this shit out, and then all of a sudden I hear her fucking getting up out of her bed. She's been asleep for, like, 2 hours maybe, and going to make her way to the stairs to, like, find one of us or go see if Santa has come or some shit. We had to, like, beat her to the top of the stairs and get her back to her bed because our tree was right underneath the stairs. So, like, if you look down, she would see all of her shit. And some of it was not wrapped because you can't wrap a bicycle. Yeah, that was a scary moment, but we pulled it off. It was a good one.
Yeah, we don't even do Santa anymore. It's kind of...
Well, you're all grown up.
I know, but, like, I like the thought of it. Like, oh, Santa brought this for us, you know?
Yeah, my dad started doing this weird thing where, like, one of the gifts I got was a basketball. Granted, they got the wrong size. It's a women's size basketball. Mm. A nice one, too, so it really hurts. Like, anyway, point is, he'll put on the package, it's like, to Ross from Alperen Şengün.
Okay.
Who's a Rockets player. So, like, he puts the from is somebody relevant to that. So, like, back in the day, let's say if I asked for a pair of Yeezys, he'd put, like, from Kanye.
I like that. That's
kind of fun, right? Yeah.
Also, kind of sucks that Alperen Şengün didn't know what size basketball to get.
I know. Like, what a fucking idiot. Come on, man. Get the full size bad boy. It takes 2 seconds to Google what's the NBA sized adult man ball. Now I got this ball for the girls, I guess.
When did you open Santa's gifts? Like, would you do at the beginning or at the end, or just like
it's kind of mixed in throughout? Yeah. So I'd do, like, you know, ones from mom, dad, or whatever. But, like, I think when I was smaller, we would do the Santa ones first usually because, mm-hmm. like, oh, they're more special or whatever.
Yeah. Do you have, like, a specific, like, I guess, way about, like, opening gifts? Like, you know, like, oh, I know what, like, that's probably going to be. So, like, I'm going to save that one for later. I'm going to go open that one first.
Sometimes my parents would give us the order.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what I do with my kids and with my wife, frankly. Like, if there's, like, a big gift, like the really, you know, the main Christmas present, if you mm-hmm. will, I distribute the smaller ones first and, like, save the big one for last. So there's, like, a climax, you know?
Right, yeah.
Because otherwise, like, you open it first and then you open all the shitty ones. It's like,
Yeah, then you're getting socks at the end. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, and again, like, not a spoiled guy necessarily, but at the same time, you do have there's a hierarchy of presents.
For sure.
You know, some of them are more exciting than others. Like, we gave, actually, the 4-year-old got a couple different pairs of pajamas that when she opened them, like, she's already the age where she's, like, immediately like, well, fuck this. Like, throws the pajamas to the side. You know what I mean? Like, moves on, trying to find a toy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you want the pajamas to come first. If that's the last thing she opens, leaving the pajama taste in her mouth, it's not as exciting of a Christmas. You don't want that.
Right.
You got to be careful with these things. Anyway, moving on. Hydration isn't just for athletes. Podcasters need to stay hydrated too, so we avoid dry mouth during the heat of battle while recording a show. Without today's sponsor, Liquid IV, Kate and I could be suffering from dehydration right now with dry ass mouths that sound terrible on the microphone. No matter where or how you're hydrating this holiday season, Liquid IV is the hydration brand fueling your well-being. And their hydration multiplier can keep you going through the end of the year and beyond with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, all in a single stick. Now it's available in sugar-free. Choose from 3 delicious flavors, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime. We have a massive supply of Liquid IV here at the Bolin Media Office, which makes us perhaps the most hydrated media company in the entire world. And Liquid IV has been one of our longest-running sponsors, supporting your favorite Bolin Media shows for years now. We love Liquid IV. 1 stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone, with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, no artificial sweeteners, and zero sugar, contains 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. And in these new sugar-free runs, they replace sugar with a proprietary amino acid allulose blend. Allulose is a naturally occurring sweetener with the same sweet taste and texture that one can expect from table sugar. Grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code ROSS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code ROSS, R-O-S-S, at liquidiv.com. All right, so, Cade, what did Santa bring you for Christmas? Or I guess not Santa, just your parents, since you don't do Santa anymore. Sad. Very,
very sad. I pretty much got everything that I asked for this year. Like, I don't know. I kind of, like, expect
to get everything you asked for.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I'll give, like, options and stuff, but, like, I kind of figure, like, oh, I'll get all these things.
Well, so what'd you ask for?
So, well, first was socks and boxers. Always need those.
I did the same.
I feel like, you know, that's just something you need to give to whoever every single year.
Well, it's kind of one of those, it's like lame to shop for by yourself, like yourself. You know what I mean? Like, when I'm looking for socks, I'm just like, oh God, this is depressing. Same with boxers. And there's so many options. There's too many options. I just want them given to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got some Nike socks.
Nice.
Got the ankles and the crew socks. So that's good. Switch it up.
I got some new brand, like, I don't even know what it's called. My wife found it.
Yeah, see, I'm too scared to switch up the brands. I don't know, because I like how the Nike socks feel. So
I haven't had any brand loyalty sock wise the last couple years. So she took a swing. I tried them yesterday. These new socks are great. I think they're called like Quince or something like that. I'm gonna look while you talk.
But then another thing that I really wanted that I got this year was my first pair of Jordans.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
which ones did you go with? This is a huge moment for you.
I got the Jordan ones, like the mids.
Yeah, the old school.
You got
mids.
Yeah,
yeah, those are great. People hate on the mid, Cade. Don't let them do that to you.
Really? I didn't know. See, I'm not a big Jordan shoe guy.
Yeah, sneakerheads tend to hate on the mids.
Okay.
Two of my favorite pairs of Jordans ever are Jordan 1 mids. They're great.
Why are they hated on so
I don't know why. It's just like a weird, like, you know how they used to hate on the Roche runs? Did you ever see? Yeah, it's like that. Okay. They're just like, oh, this makes you not a real sneakerhead if you can't even rock the high tops. It's like, man, fuck you.
No.
Anyway, the mids are fine.
Yeah. So fine. I didn't get like the classic red and black. I got the just like white, gray, and like a tan beige-ish color.
Nice.
So yeah, looks sick. Can't wait to wear them out and them to get ruined immediately. I'm not wearing them now.
You don't have any shoes on right now.
Yeah, I don't wear
shoes. You're just wearing your new Nike socks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you typically don't wear shoes in the studio.
I mean, I don't know why I need to. I don't really wear them around the house.
You don't really need to. It's just interesting. Like, you and Jared, two co-hosts in a row, anti-shoes in the studio people.
But was he wearing socks or was he?
He would typically be barefoot.
Yeah,
and that's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
I'll cover on my toes for you.
The socks thing. I don't want to get turned on while we're trying to focus on the show.
Exactly. Yeah. Another thing that I got this year was, you're going to love this one, actually. It's Bo Burnham's Inside Vinyl.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, and it's signed, technically.
Wow.
Yeah.
Signed version.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like the vinyl isn't signed, but it like came with like a little picture.
Like an insert?
Yeah.
Sick.
So,
what are you going to do with the picture?
Do you leave
it in the vinyl?
No, my mom got a frame for it.
Nice.
So I'll like put it up in the studio. I couldn't bring it back with me because I just didn't have room in my suitcases.
Oh, okay.
So
you had to ship it?
Yes. It's like, it was huge. It's like, it's three vinyls. So it came in like this big box.
Yeah.
And it came with like a bunch of other stuff too, like pictures, and like the vinyls are weird. It's like, it has like different sleeves for them. So it's like a red, blue, and green sleeve. And you can put the different sleeve on like all the vinyls, and it'll like show a different picture. So it's weird. Like, I'll have to show it to you.
No, I saw him marketing it some on Instagram, and it looked pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it's definitely like the coolest vinyl I think I've gotten so far.
Nice.
Just like from
I mean, that's saying something. You have a lot of them.
I do. Yeah. So that was really cool that I got that one. And then I got a watch. Nothing crazy. Some cologne, a Colts hat.
Yeah, Colt hat.
Yeah, go horse, baby. Dude, it was so tough to like find a Colts hat that I liked.
Oh, NFL merch is god awful.
Yeah,
I mean, one of my gifts was I asked for a new Texans hat and shirt that I asked for when CJ Stroud was healthy. Just to be clear, but I went looking for, because I was like, you know what, the Texans are back. We're hot. We've got a hot new quarterback, new coach. I need a hat. And I went looking for one and was like, what is all this shit? Like, it's just fucking a bunch of flat bill fitteds.
Yeah.
But that's not doing anything for me.
Mm.
I finally found one that's like adjustable, that's not bad, that's pretty basic. It's just white with the Texans logo. And I was like, I guess this is as good as I'm going to do. But yeah, no, NFL merchandise is hard to find good shit.
Yeah. I like, for some teams, they have good stuff. Like, if you're a fan of like the Raiders or.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not an NFL team, but like the Lakers or there's just like some teams where like they
Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers,
yeah,
they have a ton of options, yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, the Colts or the Texans, or like, I'm a Cavs fan too. Nothing, like,
jack,
they don't
shit.
Have anything, and it's like, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, smaller market teams tend to have shittier options. I mean, the Texans are not a smaller market team. They just have never done anything,
mm-hmm.
and I guess nobody cares, and the fucking logo is kind of difficult to work with in terms of design stuff. So,
yeah.
Like, it's weird, though. Like, with the Rockets, with the NBA, they do a lot of licensing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's a lot of other non-NBA store, non-Rockets store brands that are making Rockets merchandise. So there's, like, badass Rockets merch. I've worn a ton of it on the show over the years. that you can find in these other places. With the NFL, they're real strict about their licensing. They don't really let that many people do stuff with it. So, like, you're going through the NFL store where it's just the most basic bitch shit you would expect, right? It's just, like...
Yeah, so, I've gotten to the point where, like, I don't know how you feel about this, but, like, wearing a team that, like, isn't your team, like, wearing their merchandise, just because, like, I like the design of it, but I also don't want someone up coming up to me like, oh, are you a fan of whoever?
I hate this. I won't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah, because, like, I have a Mariners jersey. It's Ken Griffey, and, like, whenever I wear it out, everyone's
That's
like...
different. That's tight.
That is, yeah, it's That's retro, tight. But, like, still people come up to me all the time, like, oh, are you a Mariners fan? I'm like, no, I just... like the dude on the back of the jersey.
Say no, I just fucking love Ken Griffey Jr., bro.
Yeah. Well,
he's
that's
still
why
paid.
I usually say that, but sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, because like a lot of people here are from Seattle, apparently. I didn't know that, but...
I think there's just a lot of people here from everywhere.
True, but like it seems like whenever I wear it, like I get a lot of people coming up to me from Seattle. Yeah. It's just weird. But like sometimes I'll just lie to them and be like, oh, yeah, I'm from Seattle. I'm a Mariners fan.
Well, also, you just give out fake identities when you're out.
that's true.
That's on brand for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got a Colts hat, and then I just got clothes, got this hat.
Beanie?
Beanie.
Solid.
A lot of beige and, like, cream colors for my clothes this year. And I did that, like, on purpose, but, like, when I was opening the gifts, I was like, damn, this is a lot of, like, the same colors.
That's how you feel.
Yeah. But, like, I got this, like, wool knit sweater, you know, trying to be on my Chris Evans and Knives Out or Billy Crystal vibes.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, so can't wait to wear that one out.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. I always feel like the cold weather is supposed to end after Christmas, and I forget, like, oh, wait, no, the worst part is still coming in January and February.
Yeah, it was, like, in the 50s in Indiana, which was so weird, because usually it's freezing there around this time of year, so shout out global warming, I guess.
I know, I don't understand, it's not even called that anymore. They changed it to climate change. This very reason, because it stopped, the global warming part of it stopped making sense. It's freezing down here way more often than it used to be. Like, we're having actual freezes every year. Like, fingers crossed it doesn't happen again this year. I can't take it anymore. But, like, a few years in a row now, it's, like, snowing and shit. It's not warm. Where's the warming part of the global warming? So now it's just climate change, and it's that we get the extreme heat and the extreme cold. And then I think that just the planet just is confused in general.
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows?
And then...
scientists.
So that was, like, the big stuff. And then I got, if you're, like, watching on YouTube, I got this V with, like, the Ohio State.
Oh, that's tight.
Yeah. Because Ohio State just loves the word the for some reason.
Yeah, it's just, well, because doesn't it precede... It's, like, the Ohio State?
Yeah. That's they just like to say it differently than everyone else. Because I guess we're better than everyone else.
Yeah, it's one way of looking at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's cool. It's just the letters THE with the Ohio State colors through the middle of it. Mm-hmm. I like it.
And then my mom got me this. It says,
call
your mom.
How about that?
Yeah. So, you know, we like to say call your grandparents, but you should also call your mom, I guess, too.
Yeah, I think the mom goes to the top of the list. Call your mom, call your dad, call your grandparents.
Right, yeah.
We just focus on the grandparents thing because it's less obvious to most people.
Right.
How many studio decorations did you get for Christmas? This is great.
It's just the two. Okay. And I guess I got a new vinyl, so that counts
that
as
counts,
one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was about it for Christmas for me.
Good haul.
Yeah, good haul. Good stuff.
Oddly enough, every single gift I got from my wife was feet related. So
okay.
I got the shoes I'm wearing, the Mosh Promenade Jasper, these pink bottom shoes. I'm not going to hold my foot up. I used to be able to do that a couple years back, but like I can't do it anymore. Got new shoes. It's the Mosh dude, his name is M-A-C-H-E, and it's pronounced Mosh. But I've had a couple of his pairs of shoes already. I've talked about him on the show before. Really cool dude. Really great shoes. He makes a lot of sick stuff, and he's like an independent shoemaker. So, like, you're ordering through him or whatever, and there's, like, a limited amount of most of the drops he does where it's, like, he'll give a 48-hour window. It's pre-order. So he's, like, this is the shoe. If you want it, you pay, and then it comes in, like, a few months after they're done being made. It's a cool way of doing it so that you don't end up in a situation, like, with every major shoe release now where you're, like, you cannot get them. They get botted. So they're bought by all these fucking people with bots. And then you got to go to like StockX and pay a premium on resale to get them. He's broken that shit by doing it this way, and I really like the dude. I like the stuff he does. He does a ton of cleats for NFL players. Like I'd say there's a pretty decent shot that if you see a custom pair of cleats on an NFL player, it's from him. And anyway, so that was the first thing. She got me these cool ass house slippers from this place. It's Quince, which I assume is pronounced Quince. Quince.
Quince.
Yeah, like Quince, yeah. like the number in Spanish, I think. Maybe. Anyway, I'm not that confident about the name of this brand, but that is the name of the brand, and it's the same place I got some new boxers from. But she got me these house slippers. You know how I've been bitching for months about, like, or at least discussing for months, like, what do you do at the end of the day if you've already showered in the afternoon and now your feet are all dirty? Do you, like, wash them off? What do you do? Well, now I have these fucking house slippers so that I can do away with this problem. I just put the house slippers on. Yeah, I needed something between socks and full-blown shoes that isn't made by Kanye West. And now I have that.
It's huge.
It's very huge. So, and then I got new socks, like I said. So, shoes, house slippers, and socks, all feet-related gifts. And I'm starting to become suspicious that maybe it's not that I have a foot fetish.
It's that your wife does.
She does, and she's forcing it on me. We talked about that. She said that's not the case.
No.
She said that she's not disgusted by my feet.
But she's not,
quote,
like,
but they definitely
on.
Don't turn me on, end okay. quote. So... It's kind of a half a win, you know? As long as she's not disgusted by him, I'll take it. But I also got the new Texans hat and shirt. And again, I wish I felt better about those two things than I do.
Well, you always have next year, too.
Yeah, so. We were so high earlier in the season, the Texans. Like, we were feeling so good. And then it's just been the injuries. Like, it's been a rough stretch here the past month or so.
Was that the only Houston merch you got?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I have so much Rockets and Astros shit that, like, I was going through and looking at stuff maybe to put on my Christmas list. I was like, I don't need any more of this. Is ridiculous because it's already to the point where some days I'm like, I want to wear an Astros hat, and I go into my hat drawer and I'm like, now I got to pick one of these 20 fucking hats. It's this whole process. Same with the Rockets. And I can't. Like, there's 20 Rockets hats in the studio closet at the office because I wanted to make it less options at home so that I don't have this, decision paralysis. But, so no, I didn't ask for any Astros or Rockets stuff. As far as the kids go, like, baby RJ got a baby bike. It's like a little bitty bike. So he's, like, standing. There's no pedals. It's just the wheels and the handles, and he stands and, like, walks.
Is it to help him walk?
It kind of helps, like, training, you know, a little bit. Yeah, but he's been moving and grooving already. I mean, like, we're probably within a month, I would say, of him doing full-blown first steps, which is horrifying but also awesome. But he got a baby bike and a bunch of crazy baby toys, like, that I don't know how to describe. They're, you know, weird.
Just something to entertain a one-year-old.
Yeah, a bunch of weird one-year-old educational toys and shit. I took like 1,000 photos. I was looking through my phone, like, I was trying to find something for work, and I had to scroll so fucking far to get to where my photos were before the break because I took so many pictures. It's like a weird thing that the phones have changed for us, you know? Like, people took pictures on Christmas and did video camcorders of their kids opening presents and stuff back in the day. Now it's just so easy that you end up taking so many pictures and so many videos. And I feel like it's good for some reasons and it's weird for other reasons. What happens when I'm old? Am I going to have to sort through all these at some point? Like, put them into Dropbox folders and then share them with my kids so that they can have the photos or whatever? Like, I just don't know what that process is going to look like. My parents just handed me photo albums. Here's a photo album from you as a kid. You know what I mean? Like, oh, here's the picture. Like, that's it. Now it's like, it's all digital and crazy now, kid. Technology, it's taking over, you know?
All right. Yeah. What was that picture? Like, you posted one where he has, like, a baseball.
What was that? I got him this pack of, like, Little Tykes sports balls. So it came with a baseball, a football, a basketball, and a soccer ball. And they're like, you know, they're not real. They're, like, inflatable and then, like, painted to look like that ball or whatever. But he really took to the baseball, which, I mean, it's we were huge. Joking, yeah. like, last week or whatever about Shohei Ohtani's $700 million contract, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to really force it onto my kid. And now I'm like, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Good.
He's on the right path already. Grab that baseball. Yeah.
Chunk that fucking thing.
Posted like the side by side with him and
George H.W. Bush.
Yeah. It, like, they looked very similar, like out there.
Dude, same fucking way. It cracked me up. The second I took the picture and looked at it on my phone, I was like, oh my God, it looks just like George H.W. Bush. If you've never seen this picture of former President George H.W., to be clear, that's not W, not the most recent Bush, the Bush before that. That's that Bush's dad, Big Bush. Type in George H.W. Bush baseball. It'll be one of the first things that pops up. They took his ass out to an Astros game when he was, like, decrepit. Like, he's dead now, right? Rest in peace, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he passed away. But when he was on the way out, he got that old man face where it's just you're making a face that, like, you're constantly confused, kind of. They took him out and they let him do the first pitch. And I'm doing air quotes here because you could barely... Anyway, when he got out there, they were like, George H.W. Bush, and they had handed him the baseball, right? And he just, like, fucking held it up in the most hilariously awkward, you know, elderly old man way. Like, here it, behold the baseball. And it's an all-time photo. He's wearing, like, an Astros jacket. He's in a fucking wheelchair. And he's like, baseball, you know what I mean? It's just it's fucking great. Anyway, the baby did the same thing. What else? We got my stepdaughter. She's 4, like I said, bicycle, stuffed animals, pirate ship toy. I'll say this. There's that period when you're a little kid where Christmas is the most magical fucking thing in the world. And it's like the most exciting night before Christmas and then the morning of. And that magic fades as you get older. Like it just, it's not the same. It's different.
Santa, right, yeah, I'm in that era right now.
Yeah, you find out Santa's not real. You know, you get into adulthood of some version of it anyway. And it's just like a totally different ball game. Like, it's still fun, for sure. It's still nice to give presents and get presents and spend time with your family. It just doesn't have that same, like, magic that it does when you're a little kid, where everything, every day, for like a full month of December, feels magical. You recapture some of that when you have kids, because you get to live vicariously through them. So, like, RJ is almost 1. He doesn't have a fucking clue. He's just happy all of the time. This was like any other day for him, except there were more people around and like shit to play with. But the 4-year-old, like watching her get excited about, you know, Santa coming and doing the elf on the shelf thing, which is a pain in the ass. You got to come up with all these creative ways to display this fucking elf.
Yeah, we never did that. Like, I have no idea what that is supposed to mean.
It's this elf that is supposedly work. It's like a little elf toy that all these kids get and families do, where he's supposed to represent Santa. So you can name it. You can't touch it except unless you're wearing a special red glove that comes with it, because the magic will go away if you touch it or whatever. It's so the kids don't move it.
Right.
Because the idea is every day you put it somewhere different and they find it and they're like, oh my God, look. The elf moved over here all by itself. And here's the thing I'm realizing more and more about both Santa and Elf on the Shelf. These are just things we invented to make parenting easier.
Yeah,
you just
no,
tell
for
the
sure.
kids, if you act up, Santa's going to know. You better not, what is it? You better not pout. You better not cry. You better not be an asshole. I'm telling you why, because Santa Claus is coming to town. Like, that whole thing around Santa is just based on motivating good behavior, which is weird, especially when you find out it's bullshit. You know, you're like 10 years old and you find out Santa's not real and you're like, wait a minute.
I could have been a
total piece of shit this whole time. Could have been lighting stuff on fire, fucking stealing. Instead, I was behaving. It makes no sense. But the same thing with this elf on the shelf. It's like the elf is here to watch you.
Yeah, make sure you're nice and not naughty. Yeah.
And if you fuck up, fuck around and find out, you know, Santa won't give you any presents. He's going to report back to Santa. That's the elf on the shelf thing. It's just
but couldn't you
that
be
we
naughty?
Suck at parenting. We're lazy and we need hacks to get our kids to do shit because we don't know how to get them to do anything.
Yeah, but couldn't you be naughty in like the room that the elf wasn't in? Because like he's just watching that room. Like if you go off somewhere else and... No, wreak havoc, then, like, how's he going to know?
Our elf got named Chippy.
Okay.
She named him Chippy, okay? And, like, one day he was upstairs somewhere for that day, and she was downstairs, and she threw something. And I said, what if Chippy had seen you do that? And she goes, Chippy's upstairs. And I was like, fuck. I said, but yeah, but he could have seen it. And she was like, yeah, she's totally unfazed.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just interesting to me that we don't know how to deal with little kids. So we just made up random shit around a holiday to fucking get them to stay in line. It's insanity.
Yeah. Does your stepdaughter do the Santa tracker?
Nah, we don't, we're okay with the lie.
Yeah.
But only to a certain extent. We don't go full blown with it. Like, you know what I'm saying? With my parents and me as a kid, like, you know, you talk about it all the time. Like, Santa, where could he be now? They're doing the Santa tracker. You know, we're trying to downplay it. Like, make it, we're trying to remove the guilt of the manipulation for ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was like a thing until recently. I don't know.
Santa tracker?
Yeah, I never heard about that.
I mean, it's
until
a new
recently.
Age deal, Kate. Yeah. It's like the elf on the shelf. We didn't have these things when we were kids. Definitely not me. Did you ever get coal for Christmas?
Never.
My mom used to put a little piece of coal in our stockings every year, just at the bottom.
Just as like a reminder, like, hey.
Just as a gag, I think. Because it was when we were a little older. Yeah. Not like when I was 4. I wasn't opening the stocking and getting coal. You do stockings?
Oh, yeah. We still do
stockings. Big stocking family?
Oh, yeah.
Stockings are underrated, I would say.
Yeah, you just throw a bunch of small gifts in there. Get some scratch-offs that you never win anything.
We did scratch-offs. I won $5. Yeah. Huge.
We also... You brought this up. I posted a story on my Instagram of the Christmas bingo.
Oh, dude, Christmas bingo rules.
I didn't know, like, other families did that.
I didn't know either. And now I'm thinking about it. Like, my grandma and grandpa that used to do this, they're from the Midwest, somewhere up in there, Indiana, Michigan type shit. Are those even close together?
Wait, Michigan and...
Indiana?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. See? It's fine. Anyway, maybe it's a regional thing. Because they brought it down here. But that was fun as shit. We used to do it every year, Christmas bingo, except the gifts were, like, ridiculous. Awesome. Like, way too nice. Like, I think the last game was, like, the biggest game of bingo, and whoever won got, like, $100 or some crazy shit. My grandma gave us all too much.
Yeah. No, I just got an elf mug, and that was it. But, like, it was cool.
You won?
Yeah, I won the second game. My niece won the first one, and then... She won the third game, and I won the fourth game. And then there's, like, after that, like, you win 2 times, and then you're done.
Nobody else won? Just you two?
Well, no, like we were done playing because we couldn't win anymore. But, like, me and her were, like, fucking people up on bingo. Like, we just, like, got all the right numbers.
How many people were playing? Thereabouts. Seven?
Yeah.
Dude, the more the crazier it gets.
Mm-hmm.
We would do this shit with my dad, his two brothers, their wives, all my cousins. So it was like 20 people. And, you know, some years, like, the same person would win like 2 or 3 games in a row or whatever, just some crazy lucky shit. And it would get contentious in there.
Yeah.
Like, I would get legitimately angry when I didn't win.
Yeah, but, like, what my mom does, she would just, like, you know, everyone gets, like, their own, like, gift or whatever. So I don't know if you're, like, competing for, like, gifts or anything like that.
No, it was just each game had an assigned prize.
Okay.
That you weren't, only my grandma was aware of it.
Right.
And she would tell you before the game, like, this game, the winner gets, sometimes it was stuff like scratch-offs.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was $100. Sometimes it was, like, outlandish, random shit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, ours is just, like, a small gift, just, like, personal to that person or whatever. Just
okay.
So I think it, avoids the tension and competition of it.
Yeah.
Really. So
it's a good move. Cause I mean, I'm telling you, it would get heated.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Like, no, bingo can get very, very heated.
Cause
you're, like,
it's just all luck.
Yeah.
And then you get, like, you know, 4 and you're 1 away from a bingo or whatever. And then that one never happens. You're just like, what the fuck?
Right.
Who is spinning the balls up there? But, love Christmas bingo. It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. All in all, it was a great Christmas. Great first Christmas with RJ. My third, I think, with the 4-year-old, but, you know, never gotten to do a Christmas with a baby for their first Christmas, and it was really, really fun. It was tight as hell, man. I'll say this, now with the 2 kids, and, you know, my parents came in town, my mother-in-law was there, the dogs, they got forgotten about.
Oh, did they, like, not get anything?
I got nothing, bro. I had to bring out the jar of peanut butter and just start, like, dishing out peanut butter. So, like, fuck. Yeah, they have stockings and everything. They're just empty.
Oh no.
I mean, they don't know. This is the fucked up thing. They don't know. So it's just me that ends up feeling bad. You know what I mean? Like, they don't know. They don't even, it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Just another day, except all these weirdo humans are opening shit and yelling a lot. And I mean,
they
completely
play with,
forgot.
The wrapping paper, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know about those two, but maybe Harvey.
Yeah,
around.
He got a Kong filled with peanut butter, but it was, you know, this, he already had the Kong, and that's a regular occurrence in his life. So I totally, totally spaced on the dogs, and it will never happen again. I still, like, just talking about it, I'm like, I suck. I'm such a piece of shit.
My niece and nephew actually just got a dog for Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah, so they opened it up on Christmas Eve. So we went over to their house after church.
They opened it up. It was in a crate.
Yeah. Peed and pooped a lot in like the short amount of time I was there. Not quite potty trained yet.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Had an accident on the couch as well.
Oh, sick.
Not great, but very cute. Yeah.
Was that on your parents' couch or on their couch?
On my sister's couch, yeah.
No, that's their couch. Then
yeah,
fine.
So it's that, yeah, we don't have to worry about that.
Weird other dog story. So Christmas morning, my mother-in-law arrives at the house and I'm walking over to the front door to let her in. I look through the window and there's a little dog with her with a bow on.
Mm.
And I was like, what the fuck is that? We have four dogs, okay? Like, if she just, without even asking, brought us another dog and is going to give this to the four-year-old, was my assumption, I was just going to lose my goddamn mind. And I open the door, and I'm like, what is that? And she's like, I don't know. It just followed me in. Like, can you pick it up and see if it's one of your neighbors? And I was like, oh, thank God. And it was a little Chihuahua, so I knew my next-door neighbors have, like, three Chihuahuas. I was like, this has got to be theirs. So I pick it up. But I went and rang the doorbell, just fucking nobody answered. There's like six cars in front of the house. It's 9 a.m. on Christmas morning. I know they're in there. Nobody answers. The Ring doorbell goes, would you like to record a video message? If so, talk now. Never had that happen before. And I'm holding the dog up and I just go, I'm pretty sure this is yours. And then nothing happened. No one responded. And I just kind of stood there with this tiny ass Chihuahua. And I was like, fuck, okay, well, I guess I'll take it home. Like, I texted my neighbor, like, I'm pretty sure I have one of your dogs. Also, like, are y'all alive in there? Like, what the fuck is happening? Eventually, their son came over and picked it up. But I thought my mother-in-law had brought a fifth dog into my home, and I was about to fucking kill her. So, fortunately, that's not what happened, and Christmas was saved. But anyway, weird dog story. Today's episode is also brought to you by Shopify. Chappelle and Neil, Key and Pill. Peel, Faye and Polar, Setup and Punchline. So what about the perfect duo when it comes to growing your business? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow, whether you're selling merchandise for your podcast or making handmade kaleidoscopes. Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can focus on successfully growing your business. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Selling merchandise for our podcasts here at Bolin Media has been a massive supplemental revenue source for us, allowing us to provide our biggest fans and supporters with shirts, hats, coffee mugs, even puzzles, so they can wear our stuff and show their support for our show in real life. Shopify can be the platform that enables you to connect with your supporters in the same way. I've used the platform extensively. Shopify is amazing, and Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/RBP, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/RBP. Again, all lowercase now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com slash RBP. A few things to cover on our way out. First, I wanted to share our favorite rap albums of 2023. Best of 2023 rap albums wise. Always feels bad to say best of, though, because we didn't listen to all of them.
No, there's a lot that I didn't listen to.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so it's our favorite. It's our favorite ones of the year. But first, as a question to open this, did you listen to the Sexy Red album?
There are like two songs that I've listened to.
So you have not listened to it through and through?
No. Are you talking about the Rolling Stone?
Not even that. Thing? I've seen it on a bunch of different lists as one of the best albums of the year, rap-wise, which is just fascinating to me because I thought her whole shit was kind of like, you know, like a one-hit wonder type of situation with the ski-y thing, you know. I like.
Yeah, she just has like two songs off the album that I like. So
I'm just curious if it's actually legitimately good. I mean, I've seen some interviews with her and stuff, and I was just like, I don't know. I don't think you're necessarily somebody I'm going to give a bunch of time and energy to.
Yeah.
Anyway, my number one album of the year for me, rap album-wise, really just in general, was one that I kind of called out when it dropped. It was Killer Mike's Michael. And I'm just been a big Killer Mike fan for a long time. He's been doing shit my whole life. Popping up here and there on random Outkast songs. Run the Jewels with him and LP is amazing. Super fun concert. One of my favorite concerts I've ever been to. Love a bunch of RTJ jams. But Killer Mike has never really gotten the recognition he deserves. And Michael is the first time that has really happened for him. But like, this is a front to back, no skips, incredible rap album that Killer Mike put out in the form of Michael that was my favorite of the year. Bar none. I mean, there's some others that I'll name that were great that I listened to a ton, maybe even more than I listened to Michael, because it's like a little bit emotional and deep at times, so you're not always in the mood for that. But it was like through and through, as in terms of like being a piece of art, is the best thing that I thought came out this year rap-wise. What was your favorite, kid?
My number one was And Then You Pray For Me by West Side Gunn.
It's a good choice.
Yeah, probably like my favorite rapper now. He just like shot his way up there. But just his fucking ad-libs kill me.
Oh, he's great, dude.
But like when I first listened to this dude, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, this sounds terrible. And then like something just clicks and it just starts to hit, and it hits all the time now. And this was like my first album that like I really got to experience like the build up for.
Oh yeah.
And I think it delivered. A lot of people were saying like it wasn't like as great as some of his other stuff. Now, but like I don't know.
That always happens.
Yeah.
Though.
But like I thought it was pretty solid from front to back, and yeah, it made my number one this year.
That was my number two.
Yeah.
And Then You Pray For Me. I loved it. And I honestly wouldn't even have heard it if you didn't put me onto it, because like this is one of those things I've talked about. You lose when you get older. You're not as plugged into like new music that's dropping, and you just miss shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just miss constantly. West Side Gunn is part of Griselda, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so like I was way more familiar with Griselda on the whole than him individually until you told me about And Then You Pray For Me coming out, and I think you talked about it on Patreon, maybe.
No, I don't think I actually ever like did a review of the album yet.
But it was great. I mean, it's really, and like you said, it's very different. Like, you definitely have to go in with an open mind and kind of wait until you get it,
because
it takes some time. Like, if you went in, right now, you don't listen to rap that much, and you just go in and listen to And Then You Pray For Me, a couple tracks in, you're going to be like, and I'm out.
Yeah.
Because it's a sound that's going to be a little bit, like, discombobulated and jarring, probably, but let it ride. Give it a couple listens, and hopefully it clicks for you the way it has for Cade and I, because it's fantastic. Very, very good stuff.
So my number two?
Yeah.
I have Utopia by Travis Scott.
That's my number three.
Yeah.
I'm shocked, but it was.
Yeah, I don't think I really listened to it as much as some of these other ones, but I just think, like, sound-wise, like, he just does what he does best.
No, I feel like part of me has not wanted to give Travis Scott a lot of credit.
That's another thing. I was like, there's no way it should be my number two.
Right? Because it's something about him, and like, I don't know. There's just, the album is like a lot of it is like old Kanye throwaways that he didn't use. And like, when I first talked about Utopia, I said that it was, it like ripped a bunch of sounds from like Yeezus.
Mm-hmm.
and people got mad at me because they were like, Travis produced a bunch of the sounds on Yeezus. Like, I didn't fucking know that. I didn't realize that. So it's kind of this weird, it's just like he is such a Kanye West protege, and there's all this negativity around Kanye, and for those of us that were huge Kanye fans, to like to just replace him with Travis Scott feels weird too. So my point is, there's a bunch of confusing elements around this thing that made me misjudge Travis Scott. But on the whole, if I just go and listen to Utopia unbiased, wiping out who made it and like who he's attached to and the Kardashians and all that shit, it is great. Like, it really is. It's really, really good. It's fucking good. It's not, there's not as much substance as maybe I would like. Like, it is mostly sound-based, yeah. Like, badass sounds, right? Like, but in terms of lyrical depth, there's not much there.
And I'm not really looking for that when I'm listening to Travis, yeah. I'll be honest.
You're just trying to fucking turn up.
Yeah. And so, that's what
he does.
Gonna, yeah.
It's lit.
It's lit. So, yeah, or like...
We're just going to follow each other.
Yeah,
one
pretty
after the
much.
Other.
Yeah,
is your number three Gunna?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my number four. I'm just... Michael bumped down everything
right,
one slot
yeah.
for me. Yeah.
But yeah, I was just... You know, I was very worried about, like, no, what was going to happen once he got released? Like, does he still have it? Like, is he going to be able to stay at that top level even without, like, any features on it? I think he delivered...
Oh, it's a great way to come out and say, like, you know, he's going to deal with the rat thing the rest of his career.
Yeah.
Whether or not there's any credence to it, it doesn't matter. Gunna is going to have that label thrown at him. I still routinely see, like, stupid fucking headlines in my Instagram Discover feed. It's like, Lil Baby calls Gunna a rat. Like, Lil Baby was on stage and they started to play their song. Was it
Drip Too Hard?
Drip Too Hard.
Yeah.
And he's like, cut that shit off. We don't play that rat shit anymore or something like that. And yeah. I was just like, okay, what the fuck? He's going to deal with that stuff the rest of his career. My read, as I've said, is that that's not fair. I don't think he did anything deserving of the rat label. But if you're going to have to battle against that shit, come out of prison, deal with all the hate and the questions, you better put out something good. And to put out A Gift and a Curse and have no features on it and have it ride from front to back is impressive. It was it's great. I love it. I listen to it a ton. And it's kind of like an Any Situation album. Like, I can listen to it while I work out. I can listen to it if I'm feeling like a little bit fucking sad boy or whatever. I can listen to it if I'm trying to get hype before going out, which is not a thing I do anymore, but I could. It's great. I love The Gift and a Curse.
Yeah. Then, well, we'll switch up here a little bit, because at number four, I have Gumbo by Young Nudie.
Young Nudie.
Yeah. Just some hard trap shit.
Get that Nudie.
Fucking love Nudie. Again, he was another dude where when I first listened to him, I'm like, I don't really get it. Like, I'm not really fucking with him. And then, like, something just clicks. I'm just like, wow, this is like... some of the best shit I've ever
heard.
Dude,
that's the best. That's my favorite thing that happens in music is on the occasion where you're like, I don't really get this, ride with it. It doesn't work for me. And it's something clicks and you just like fall in love with it. That's mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. And like this album, like I talked about it on Patreon, all the song titles are like based off food, which is like on a lot of his other albums, he'll do like one song that's like a food title. And so like you just knew from the get-go that it was going to be like some of his best shit, I feel like. So, and he really delivered again. Goddamn, Young Nudie, the slime ball. Love it.
I have 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne, Welcome to Collie Grove on here as my next one. And then I'll just give you 2 at a time. Key Glock's Glaucoma 2, another one that I got introduced to by you that... those were my 2 most trappy albums of the year.
So that was your number 5 Glaucoma, too?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that was
my number 6.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was number 5 for me. I put it like the deluxe version because there's a bunch of...
Oh, I don't even know if I've heard that one.
Yeah, there's like 6 or 8 more songs, all just bangers. You know, that's just kind of what you expect from Mr. Glock.
Key Glock.
Yeah. My number 6 was For All the Dogs by Drake.
Uh-huh.
Didn't really hit the first couple times I listened to it, but you know, I think as with most Drake albums, you give some time, listen to it a little bit later, it starts to hit.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. I try to be a hater every time he drops something now. And just like, ah, fucking Drake. But nah, this is like example. Slime You Out, the one of the singles he did with
SZA.
With SZA. The first time I heard it, I was like, this? Fucking this? We're doing this? And now that's the one I go play the most right now, the last couple weeks, for whatever reason. I put Offset's Set It Off, which I was shocked that Offset's album was one of my favorites this year. But I put that on my list, and then Drake for All the Dogs. And you could make it the deluxe version with the, what is it, Scary Hours or whatever.
Yeah.
Look, there's just enough good shit, and there's kind of stuff for every mood you could be in,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, he's got the, if you're fucking angry or you want to get hyped and work out and throw some steel around or whatever, he's got shit for that. If you're in a, you know, sad boy mood, he's got shit for that. If you're getting ready to go out, he's got shit for that. Like, it's a variety of stuff on this album that I'll listen to for a while, you know what I mean? It's not shit that's like, this is one of my favorite songs ever, or this changed my fucking life, but it's good. It's really good. He's still consistent with it, and as much fun as it is to make fun of Drake, there isn't anybody that is, like, comparable to him anymore in the game. There's not. That in terms of doing the rapping and the singing at a level that is at the highest, and then also dropping consistently and never really, like, missing. That's not a thing that anybody else does on the level that he does it. So you kind of have to give credit where it's due. Him and Travis Scott are in a similar lane for me at this point. Drake way bigger than Travis Scott in my brain, music-wise. But maybe the other way around, when you talk about like fashion influence, Travis Scott, the drops he does for Nike, I'm always like, that is sick. But also, I'm not paying $1,500 for shoes. And then Drake's Nocta shit, I'm just like, what are you doing, bro? What is this stuff?
Of his Nocta
stuff? The fuck is this, dude? Stop. Cut it out. Where do you even get this shit? But yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, what am I at? Seven. I have Sex, Money, and Drugs by Lucky, another one I talked about on Patreon.
Yeah.
Don't think you were going to listen to that one, but...
I think I tried it and was like, yeah, this is for kid.
Yeah, no, it's
for the young, like younger folks.
Cloud trap music, so if you're like into that kind of stuff,
see, that's
for
you. But if
you're, yeah, so yeah, if you don't, then it's not going to be for you, which is okay.
It's okay. Not everything is for everyone.
Right.
What else is on your list?
Number eight, I have Four I Have Sinned by Derek Pope. Another album I talked about. It's like a trap album, but... deals with like a lot of mental health stuff that he likes to talk about on his album, so I really appreciate that.
If you don't know, this kid does album reviews fairly regularly on Patreon, which is where I get a lot of my new music and why he keeps referencing having talked about it before.
Yeah. And then what else you got?
I only have nine. My last one is Jack Harlow's Jackman.
I'm so surprised you put this on there.
I'm just fucking with you. I haven't okay. listened to it. But that being said, I am trying to be less of a hater, and I've noticed I mostly hate on rappers.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for Jack Harlow after that Thanksgiving halftime performance that they made him do.
Oh, God, that was so
That was the most depressing shit, bro. And they put him up, like, Dolly Parton did the later game, and she crushed, and it just made him look even worse. I have no reason to hate on Jack Harlow. I'm stopping. I'm done. I do not want to hear that. No whips and chains, but you can't tie me down song, or I'll, you know, when that first line is like, I'm vanilla, baby. I'll choke you, but I'm no killer, baby. I don't want to fucking hear that shit. I don't want to hear it, but I get it if you do. And I get that a lot of people do, because it's like the fourth song on the Spotify 100 or whatever still. I'm just trying to stop hating. So even though I haven't heard it, Jackman is my last album of the year. Rap-wise. Yeah.
I talked about that one too, and like I wasn't like it was better than
the one before this.
Yeah,
but Stay Together for the Kids or whatever.
Yeah,
it was called.
But yeah, I mean he's cool, but like I'm not really like into his music anymore. He kind of fell off for me. But if you like him, then yeah,
I'm trying not to hate.
Yeah,
and I hate it a lot, so I'm trying to make it up to him. Not that he cares or that he'll ever know.
Yeah, and then, so I got two more. I also have a bunch of honorable mentions that I couldn't...
Just rattle them off.
Yeah, so at number nine, I have Angels Never Die by Luke Bars. He's a very underground rapper. Probably no one knows about him, but he dropped an album beginning of this year that I really liked, and I never got to talk about it, but He's part of one of my favorite rap groups, and like he dropped a solo album, and I really enjoyed it. A lot of
what rap group is he in?
It's called Van Buren Records. They're also like very like underground. Like I don't think a lot of people know about them, but they got the bangers and they got like some chill shit that I really like. And that's just kind of like all I'm looking for.
Bangers and chill shit combo, dude.
Yep. And he delivers on this one for sure. He has another dude that's that has a unique voice. I would say it's kind of like high pitched and like raspy, so it's kind of maybe jarring at first, but like, well, once you get used to it, he sounds really good. At number 10, I have Texas Boy by Mike Dimes. The old boy from San Antonio dropping some heat.
You definitely talked about this one.
Yeah. And then honorable mentions, I have Set It Off by Offset, Welcome to Collie Grove with 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne, Dat Boyden by Sauce Waka.
Dat Boyden.
Rocket Power by Quavo, Business is Business by Young Thug, and Across the Spider-Verse soundtrack by Metro Boomin.
Ah, it's fucking Spider-Verse. Yeah. Jesus. Anyway, that's our favorite rap albums of 2023. It was a solid year for rap, all things considered, I think.
Yeah, I was like struggling to find stuff at first, and I'm like, oh, wow, wait, no, I have way too many to include in 10, so.
That's what happened with TV for me. Like on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, we did our favorite TV shows of 2023, and I was shocked by how many there were that I had to organize into my top 10. Like there was a lot of honorable mentions as a result. Speaking of TV, I got an email from Amazon Prime yesterday with the subject, an update on Prime Video. And I was like, okay. Normally I wouldn't even click shit, but I was like, what is this? It said, we are writing you today about an upcoming change to your Prime Video experience. Starting January 29, Prime Video movies and TV shows will include limited advertisements. This will allow us to continue investing in compelling content and keep increasing that investment over a long period of time. We aim to have meaningfully fewer ads than linear TV and other streaming TV providers. No action is required from you, and there is no change to the current price of your Prime membership. We also offer a new ad-free option for an additional $2.99 per month that you can sign up for here. And I was just like, oh, fuck, it's happening. We've done it. And you know, like, there's like Hulu with ads and whatever. It's been a joke since streaming launched that eventually this is all going to come full circle and we're just going to be right back where we were watching 5 minutes worth of ads every 10 minutes on TV. And I think this is the beginning of it right here. Like, they already jumped the price up of this shit every 6 months or once a year. Every single streamer, every year you get an email from Netflix, which we're going up to $15.99. Fucking Prime tells you that they increase the price, is my point. Now, we're going to have commercials mixed in too. And here's the thing. This is what we were all stoked about with streaming in the first place, is that there aren't a bunch of fucking commercials that you have to sit through. And there's people arguing like, oh, well, you know, at least you have the ability to pick from this massive catalog of stuff. Cable has that shit. Like, video on demand is a thing that cable had started to develop many years ago. So we're just getting back to a place where it's like you're paying for 7 different streamers and now they're all charging you more every single year and now they're adding commercials in. And we dealt with the fucking TV and movie strike this year. The state of entertainment is a mess, is my point. Like, in terms of video entertainment, TV and movies, it's a fucking mess. The internet has broken everything. And if they want an additional $2.99 to take the ads out, I'm probably going to pay it. Because I don't like watching a movie and then awkwardly, all of a sudden, it cuts to one of these commercials. Have you done this with, like, Hulu?
Yeah, no, Hulu's the worst with it.
It sucks.
They treat it like it's just a show that's on cable TV, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah, don't want to deal with that. Hate it, and I'm so pissed that this is happening now. I think we all saw it coming, but it's like, and the day has come. It is here. It is now. And it's only a matter of time. Like, I think Netflix dropped or is dropping an advertisement included option where you pay a little bit less for that. But again, it doesn't matter if they keep upping the price. So I'm just frustrated. I can't believe they just fucking announced this out of nowhere. End of the year, right in the middle of the holiday season. So it's like swept under the rug and we all just move on and give them more money.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by this one bit. And if they are going to do this, I just, like, just put it at the beginning. Like, again, like, don't put them throughout the show. Like, just throw them 5 minutes, whatever. I can go.
Make it so I can.
And do other shit.
Press play and then go prepare popcorn and take a piss and get a water.
Go hit while the commercials are on. And then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that would be preferable.
I can't with these, like, because it just ruins the viewing experience.
It takes you out of it.
Yeah. Now I'm just, like, scrolling on TikTok for, like, 1 minute, and then I'm just like, oh, the show's back on. Like,
our show right here today, there are ads in this show because you didn't pay anything for the show. The show is free on all the platforms, right? So, like, you go to Apple Podcasts, you listen to the show. You go to Spotify, you listen to the show. You haven't paid anything. That's why the ads are there. They fund the show. But if I am paying a subscription for Amazon Prime, Prime Video or whatever, and now on top of that there are ads, the thing is, this is broken. We have broken the system. It is broken. Like cable back in the day, you paid for cable on the whole, but the individual channels have to get money for their programming, so they would put commercials in, right? And like you charge for the commercials based on how many people are watching. Like that all made sense, even though it sucked, which is why this shit got invented, Netflix and whatnot. And now we're breaking back the other way because these fuckers don't know how to run a business. It's annoying. It's really, really annoying. It's why on Patreon, we don't have any ads because you pay. What if I just email everybody on Patreon, oh, by the way, now we're also going to run ads on these. You can pay $3 more if you want to have the ads taken. That's the whole point of the fucking platform, is that there's no ads there. It's premium. That's why you subscribe. You support us more directly by paying a minimum of $5 a month. And then we don't have ads in those episodes. That's the idea. So I'm just, it's a confusing time. It's frustrating. On the way out, I wanted to say, you know, we're in the age of the internet where people just send memes to each other all day. Like most people get these from friends, family, coworkers, you know, people you've met in real life. Well, I also consistently receive memes from like a sharing sect of the RBP fan base. And I wanted to take a second to say thank you to those people here at the end of the show. Like, I don't really have time to answer as many DMs as I did when the show first started out, but I check them as often as I can. And it's always fun to have a bunch of memes waiting for me that are, they're usually relevant to RBP or something we've talked about and the content we put out. Having those shared with me is nice. So shout out to those in the RBP gang bombing me with memes on the gram. I do not take you for granted. If I don't respond, it's probably because I was in the middle of some shit. Or if I just hit you with like the laughing face emoji, like that means I enjoyed it. So appreciate y'all. That will do it for today's show. Remember, Kate and I will be back later this week with another ad-free premium episode of all new content available exclusively on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Also, please support our sponsors by hitting the links in the description of this episode and using our dedicated codes. That's how we pay the bills here at Bolin Media. You can find links to all of our sponsors for today's episode in the description below. 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration using promo code Ross at liquidiv.com. And also, you can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/RBP, all lowercase. To check out our other shows, go to bolinmedia.com or just check out Oysters, Clams, and Cockles wherever you get your RBP. As I mentioned, our most recent episode is me and Mr. Barrett Dudley talking for an hour about our favorite TV shows of 2023, giving you our personal top 10s, honorable mentions, disappointments, and more. It's a blast, spoiler-free. If you like TV, if you're looking for stuff to watch, go check out OCC, otherwise known as Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, wherever you get your RBP. If you're a Houston sports fan, check out Banging the Can. If you're an F1 fan, check out Formula Bone, hosted by Mr. Jared J-Bone Borislow. You can follow me, Ross Bolin, on Twitter and Instagram, at WRBolin. Mr. Cade, where can the people follow you?
You can follow me on all the social media platforms, at Cade Orris. That's Kadeorris.
This episode of RBP is presented by Bolin Media. Video of today's show was produced by Cade Orris. Go to youtube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast for full video of our episodes, plus funny clips in the form of YouTube shorts. Our last episode, released public and free, of 2023. We hope you all had a very Merry Christmas and wish you a Happy New Year as well. Until next time, peace be with you and also with you.
Hello, baby.